Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast brought to us by Baptist Health. Well, it's time for part number two of our coach introduction series for you here on the pod. And this time it's the coaches, if you will. A couple of guys with more traditional coaching backgrounds we get the chance to meet here today. And that's Adrian Davila and Lane Blue. Coach Davila coming with Coach Cantense from Daytona, a guy that's been around our state a long time, a lot of Central Florida experience, coached on two different ends of the same high school rivalry, as well as the Rookie of the Year, and so much more. We'll talk about all of that with Coach Davila. And then Coach Blue was one of their primary rivals coming from Gulf Coast, now down to South Florida, a guy that's had a really, really incredible journey, has proven himself time and again in a case study on betting on yourself. Well, that bet has certainly paid off for Coach Blue and for this entire coaching staff as it all starts to come together here in the 305. A quick timeout on the FIU Athletics Podcast, and then Coach Davila and Coach Blue.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.
Hey, it's the Good Greek Spiro, and as a former police SWAT officer, I know what it takes to build a great team and to be a great operator. I've applied these principles in building the world's only total relocation company. From listing your house for sale to finding your dream home and everything in between, Good Greek can do it all. Good Greek also offers junk removal and auto shipping to complement our renowned moving and storage business. For your total relocation solutions, go to goodgreek.com.
Good Greek Moving and Storage, your superhero movers.
Continue to introduce you to the members of Joey Cantense's staff. And for Coach Cantense, this was a very familiar name. And for fans of junior college basketball in general, fans of Florida basketball in general, Adrian Davila joining us here on the FIU Athletics Podcast. Coach, how are we doing today?
Fantastic. Excited to be a part of this program. Excited to be here with you.
Absolutely. Same here. I always ask every newcomer here this same first question. Why FIU? What was it that drew you down here to South Florida?
Well, I mean, I can be really honest. I mean, it was Coach Cantense. I worked with him for the last 3 years. It was a blast since day one to be with him at Daytona. And it only made perfect sense when he took on the job to come with him and make this leap to the Division I level. Obviously, Miami, a lot to offer in terms of location. Seems like everything's aligned and it's the right time, especially to be part of FIU, to be a Panther, and obviously to continue to help Coach Joey and build success.
Take us through that process for you. Obviously, Coach Cantense gets the job and it's just a whirlwind for him. And he's trying to figure everything out. He's got 5,000 text messages he hasn't looked at. And he's got to build a staff and get everything ready. Kind of take us through what all of that was like in getting this job from your standpoint.
Crazy and maybe even crazier for me. When he got announced, we were playing still in Hutch. I had like shut off my phone and I don't think I even like reposted anything that was happening with our guys. I was like so locked in. I was going around the clock, scouting our opponents and prepping game film and having player meetings, trying to give us our best chance to make a run. Had a decent little postseason run, but as we finished out there, and then really it was a process. He got it. He met with me. There was no promises. You know, again, he's been very transparent with me in every part of what we've done since I joined him 3 years ago. You know, no hard feelings there. The business is hard. I've had some ups and downs. And so there's a transition and process of a few weeks kind of leading up to just before the Final Four when things became a little bit more realistic. And he was able to tell me that he was bringing me on board, that this is going to be an option. And so I was able to go to the Final Four and knew that this was going to be the spot.
And going back to all those battles in Hutch and over the years, so many good matchups with GC. And Coach Blue and you guys going back and forth and great games in both directions. If I tell you when you're in the middle of that war, hey, you're going to be on the same staff with that guy. What are you thinking at that point?
Yeah. I mean, in the middle, right? A little bit of bad blood.
Right. Absolutely.
Fortunately, this will be the claim, right? We got to go 3-1 against Lane. So, you know, it wasn't like there's still bitterness. We feel, and we got the last one up in Niceville just a month or two ago. But no, I mean, a lot of stuff that he did defensively, kind of his background and and where he came from, exciting to learn and pick his brain. I mean, that's a little bit different than our offensive firepower that we've done coming from Daytona. And so kind of the blending of all the coaching ideas is exciting.
And staying right there, for you, growing up in Central Florida, having the opportunity to work in Daytona in Central Florida, now again, staying in the Sunshine State, how important is that for you to kind of remain home here in Florida?
It's crazy because I would say it's not important for me.
That's fair. That's the coaching lifestyle.
Obviously, I get it. Yeah, I mean, I grew up here. It's really all I knew. And it's funny because Daytona had a special spot in my heart. I used to coach at the high school level. We would take our high school programs at Lake Highland and at Trinity Prep to Embry-Riddle team camp. And we would play every year. You'd play a game and over there at the Daytona gym. And it was always a nice gym, and been around, and never thought about JUCO for an early stage of my career. And then I kind of learned a lot about it and fell in love with that level. You know, I'll say this, you know, I moved to Texas, loved kind of being away. On the other hand, you know, my family is just outside of Orlando. They were maybe at every single home game for the last 3 years at Daytona. And my mom's already kind of losing it, trying to figure out, you know, what they're going to figure out, whether it's the bright line, whether it's an electric car to get down to the games and be season ticket holder. So that part's pretty cool. Definitely to have my family around is a nice thing.
You mentioned coaching at the high school level. I want to go back there with you for a little bit. I'm sure you get this a lot. But when you were coaching Cooper Flagg at Montverde, were you immediately like, oh, that's different than anything I've seen before?
Yeah. That group, and obviously Cooper, you know, is the highlight and whatnot. But that group, watching Cooper Flagg, Derek Queen, Asa Newell, they would play, not pick up, but like they would scrimmage at the end of practice. We would have segments. It's like 10 to 12 minutes. And you'd see some of the most incredible basketball, like high level of defense, but like just even higher level of shot making. I mean, it's not a shock to see like four of those guys that are in the league already. And there's a few more probably that are going to get there in the long run that were in that gym those days. Cooper was definitely like his edge, his mindset, very, very different.
It's funny too. And then you go up to the JUCO ranks. And when you talk to JUCO coaches that have made the jump to D1, it's funny to hear them talk about it because they're like, I almost enjoy JUCO more because the players at that level have a different kind of hunger. Not that all D1 athletes feel like they made it necessarily, but sometimes that does happen, especially for the guys that have made that jump. Do you kind of feel that same hunger in this coaching staff in just a few weeks of working together, plus going back, obviously, with Coach Cantens to Daytona?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, obviously, I can speak for myself. It's like the Pursuit of Happiness movie with Will Smith. It's like hard work, yes, great moment. And then hard work. Like it just continues on. It's just glimpses of happiness, of joy. And then you just dig right back into it. I think the staff is the same way. I think there's a lot of hunger. We all have something to prove. Just as coaches, we have an edge.
Now, as we transition to this next part, and just given the events of the day, nothing's official. So we're going to dance around some stuff here a little bit. But as you talk to players, you know, whether that be at any level of athletics, how much does it help having a pre-existing relationship with a player in general as you try and recruit them to whatever spot you're trying to get them to go?
I think that's always good. I think there's a familiarity. I think you know the good, the bad. I think some people think grass is always greener. I always kind of keep that in perspective and you know the good things. And that's, I think that goes a long way, knowing even the bad. But no, I think that has to help, right? It has to help to have that familiarity.
And then on the other end of it, as you guys kind of unfold your recruiting strategy for high school players, this being such a Florida-driven staff, how much does that give you guys a leg up in developing those further relationships now here at FIU?
I think that's going to be a focal point. I think it's not like I know everything about the last staff and how things work. It had a seemingly like there wasn't a ton of in-state recruiting, but I think there's a lot of ties on our staff that will just naturally lead to that, especially over time. I think it's hard coming in. We missed and we did and we didn't, right? On this wave of high school prospects, we didn't get to recruit them during the life periods and leading up. But I think the ties that we have to the travel programs, to the high school coaches, is going to be a significant factor going forward.
I think those two questions will make a lot more sense to folks by the time they listen to this, as we're recording here at the end of the week. When they listen early next week,
those two questions will be like, oh, okay, I think we understand who they're talking about.
Yeah.
Overall, a glimpse into this process for you, for this entire coaching staff, right? Because I think folks understand when you first get a job, it's kind of a whirlwind. That's true in any industry, right? But what you guys have had to do here these last few weeks, especially with Coach Cantens being such a driven guy, you know, loves waking up at 6 a.m., right? Like, take us into how these last few weeks have been for you and for the rest of the staff here at FIU.
I've been living out of the same black suitcase pretty much since Hutch. I think I haven't spent more than like, it definitely hasn't gotten to 72 hours at home with my wife in the Daytona area. Since then, it's just been back and forth, like doing a ton of different things. But I don't know. I mean, it's been wild. I love the workout. So like Joey makes me better. That's always been my mindset. And we obviously had that habit in Daytona, but like he'll call me out when I just want to have one lazy day. And then all of a sudden I'm up or I'm doing something later in the day. I've actually gone to Pitbull Stadium and ran the stairs about 3 times so far. So I got a little bit of crazy in me. Hopefully our future players will join me at some point.
Overall, as you kind of go through that process and become acclimated with FIU and get used to everything, how similar do you think it can be, right? Obviously, there are core tenets, the non-negotiables, right, that you guys had at Daytona that you bring over to FIU. But Division I is different than junior college, of course. How similar, how different do you think the systems will be here at FIU as opposed to what you guys ran at Daytona?
First off, I think there's got to be a balance, right? There's got to be a lot of confidence in what we do and what we've done. And yes, there's going to be a lot of carryover, but also have humility and understand that, okay, it's a new playing field. Got to continue to study and understand the conference, understand the coaches in the conference. And then also, I think how we find ourselves being different for everything, for how we're going to compete and we're going to be hard to scout, for how we can be different in the recruiting landscape and be unique in that realm. And so I think that's really it. It's finding those ways to stand out, but bringing a lot of what we do. I think there is going to be a lot of carryover. I mean, I think you see it at all different levels. Even just for us a year ago, the NBA Finals was the OKC Thunder versus Indiana Pacers. And to me, it was such a like hammer to the nail of like, okay, this fast pace, interchangeable 5-out system, like this is at all levels. You know, here we have more resources, I want to say, even to recruit. And obviously we're tapping into a bigger pool of athletes than we were at the JUCO level, which also comes with challenges, but that stuff is going to stay. And then obviously there's going to still be some adaptations.
You mentioned knowing the coaches. How much does it help having kind of been around Conference USA by proxy, right? CUSA recruited players from Daytona. Hank Plona came basically the exact same route as Coach Cantens, right? So it's a real similar setup. And so it kind of gives you guys a leg up, I would imagine, in understanding the Conference USA landscape.
Sure. I mean, I think humility, like don't take anything for granted. We study and watch film for a living, and we weren't just watching JUCO for the last 3-4 years. We're aware of where we are, but also like, I mean, I don't know, right? Everybody's always growing and changing in this game. Like there's a lot of adaptations and trends. It's the same thing. Just make sure we're not behind the curve, that we're trying to stay ahead of it.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, the best coaches have their system, but they also adapt to their players, which, as we know, changes every single year at this level. So it's just wild. Last one for you. We'll let you go. We appreciate the time. I find that folks who grew up in the Orlando area are widely divided on Disney World. They either love it, they spent an entirety of their life there, or they despise it and think it's the worst place in the world and wish it was not clogging up the streets of the Orlando area.
Oh, man.
Your thoughts on the happiest place on earth.
Oh, the happiest place on earth. I'm sure when I was little, my parents told me stories that when they took me to as little, I did think it was the happiest place on earth. I had the bad misfortune to go. My brother and his wife had not been, and they decided to do a whole family trip. We did the 4-day park hopper ticket thing, and oh my God, by day 3, we were already miserable. Kids are definitely not happy there. I don't know how parents get talked into it repeatedly, but I think if you're a seasonal member where you can like take it a little bit in at a time, maybe there's some enjoyment. But the long days there are rough. And then definitely, man, the traffic, I-4, that way it can really cramp your style.
It's no joke. We complain about traffic a lot down here. And yeah. Unfortunately, it's a real thing. But the I-4 corridor at 5 o'clock is, put that up against anything, and it's going to be wild. One other Orlando thing, it's actually kind of made its way down here, but I was talking with Coach Blue yesterday, and there's a lot of barbecue in Missouri. One of my favorite barbecue chains in the state of Florida actually started in that neck of the woods, Four Rivers, in that Winter Park area. If you ever been, there's one down here, it's up in Coral Springs, so up in Broward County, but you ever been to that? And overall, how much are you kind of looking forward to the Miami food scene?
I'm definitely excited about that. I think it's more so my wife's area. She loves different foods. I basically just follow her. She's going to tell me, I want to try this spot. Let's do it. I've had the best skirt steaks that I've had already here. I love those. And then the, yeah, Four Rivers. I mean, I like it. It's one of my dad's favorite spots. They had it a lot and where he works. And I forget what the dessert is, like the pudding, bread pudding.
Bread pudding.
That's okay. I'm a sucker for that. Try to stay away from it because, yeah, it'll get me.
100%. 100%. If you're into different foods, Miami is the perfect city for you because we do everything across the board. And it's such a mix. And that's what makes our city great. And it's what makes our basketball teams great. So we're so excited to see you guys and continue this tremendous progress. It's been a really good day. Again, by the time this comes out, I think folks will realize some of the fruits of y'all's labor. And I'm so stoked for this season, Coach. We appreciate you joining us here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Excited to continue to introduce you to the members of Joey Canton's coaching staff. And for Coach Canton's, a familiar name, a rival, becoming a friend here as Coach Blue joins us here on the FIU Athletics podcast. So let's dive right into it, right? I always ask every newcomer here at FIU the same first question. Why FIU? What was it that drew you here to Miami and to Coach Canton's staff?
You know, Coach Joey, obviously just a mutual respect, seeing how good of a job he did at Daytona over the last few years. I was, you know, an assistant at Chipola and saw him at Daytona when I was an assistant. And then I got to play against him when I was a head coach at Gulf Coast. And so just a mutual respect, love their style of play. Thought he did a really, really good job. And, you know, when he presented the opportunity for me here, it was an easy choice for me.
What was that process like for you, right? It's not all that long ago. You two were going head to head in the postseason, right? Now he's talking to you about joining here at FIU. What was that process like for you?
You know, we were both playing out of touch at the national tournament. And he had shot me a text like, hey, we'd love to talk after this thing is over. And he had a great opportunity to be a head coach at a school they started at and where he grew up, which is awesome. And so when we got done with Hutch, we ended up going to the Final Four, and I made my way down here and interviewed with him, and I felt great about it. You know, obviously, I was going to take the job and wanted to do it for sure and make the jump, but spending a day with him really solidified things for me, and I think for him as well, just kind of getting a little better feel for me as well. But yeah, I'm excited to be here and think it's going to be a great move for us.
For sure. We're excited. As you found yourself getting ready for his teams at Daytona State, what did you kind of admire about the system? What were some of your biggest notes of like, okay, this is what it's going to look like?
You know, I've been around a ton of guys that are super defensive minded. So obviously they present a lot of challenges offensively. They're, you know, good on both sides of the ball, but they're averaging 92, 93 points a game. And so we've got to figure out how we're not going to stop them, but how can we slow them down and what can we do to do that? And it presents a lot of challenges, and they have some really skilled players. And you know, most importantly, they teach them how to play the right way, share the ball, get off of it, move it. And so their teams were always super high in assist and shared the rock. And so, you know, as an opposing coach, it presented a lot of challenges. I thought it was probably our hardest game of the year each year that we played, you know, from a variety of things that they presented us. But yeah, a lot of respect for Coach Joey and especially the job that he's done.
Understanding he's your boss, so the answer to this is probably not, but do you envision a little bit of smack talk here and there? Like, hey, Christian Harmon had his best career game against you guys. Like, do you want to remind him of the wins a little bit at GC?
Nah, I haven't. We've joked a little bit about it, but they've got the overall win record, so I can't say a whole lot about it. But, you know, we've had some battles. We played in a jamboree before the season and had a battle, you know, in preseason. Then we played at Thanksgiving deal and had a battle. It was one possession game, and they hit a shot at the end and beat us. And then at the region tournament, it was competitive. And then, you know, you even go back to last year, and they killed us to start the year at a Thanksgiving tournament and kind of humbled our guys. And I thought it was great for us. You know, in year one, it kind of woke our team up. You know, we ended up having a solid season, and we got them later in the year in the region tournament. But they've got the winning record, so I can't say a whole lot.
There you go. Fair enough. I mentioned Christian Harmon, right? How much joy is there in a guy like that, where he totally reinvents himself year one to year two, kind of what JUCO experience is about. How much joy do you take in a story like that and so many others who you've been able to help in that way?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, Christian Herman, you know, when I got the job at Gulf Coast, honestly, I wasn't planning on keeping anybody. He didn't have a great freshman year. They struggled. And I spent 2 weeks with the team and got to meet with him. And I liked him a lot. Obviously, I thought he was a good player, but I thought he was a good person, most importantly. And so, you know, we met and I had some things that I felt that he needed to do to change his game and change his body. And if he agreed to do it, you know, we could make this work and blah, blah, blah. And so he ended up doing it. Credit to him. He did it. And then he ended up being an All-American and Panhandle Player of the Year. And he led Arkansas State in scoring this year and conference play, which was huge. So his life's changed. It's about to change again. I think he's going to end up playing at a borderline high major level. So credit to him, man. He's put in a lot of time and effort, and he's a good person and good things that are happening for him.
Good things happen to good people. I'm kind of curious how much of yourself you see in a guy's journey like that, right? You walk on at Three Rivers, you get a scholarship. You walk on at Ole Miss, you get a scholarship. You elevate yourself from grad assistant. When you see the guy put in the work and get rewarded, do you see kind of parts of your own journey in that process?
You know, you can always relate your personal stories to these guys and help them, let them know you're not just being hard on them for the heck of it. You're trying to get them somewhere they may not be able to get on their own. And so I thought Herman had a lot of ability. I'd be lying if I said I knew he was going to have the kind of year that he had. But, you know, sometimes people need a push and they need somebody to help them. And, you know, I'm glad that I could help him out a little bit, but he deserves a lot of the credit for doing what he did.
I know you guys don't like to brag on yourself, but that's a pretty cool story from your standpoint. Twice there, turning from walk-on to scholarship player. How much pride do you take in that, showing if you put in the work at this level or at any level, you'll have success?
Yeah, a lot for sure. I mean, you know, my parents have shaped me a lot, you know, and just telling me to do something that I really enjoy. And if I get good enough, I'll be able to make it and, you know, all that different stuff. And so, you know, I went there to Three Rivers with kind of a chip on my shoulder and worked and grinded, and they rewarded that kind of same thing at Ole Miss. But I think you can bring value to a team in a lot of different ways. I've been on teams where I was the best player. I've been on teams where I was the last guy on the bench. And so I love basketball. That's the main thing. And I was just trying to bring the value to those programs. And the head coach noticed it and rewarded me for it. So it's definitely something that I value too now in my coaching career. I've been able to give some guys some scholarships that have earned it. And that's been a cool thing for me as well.
We mentioned Ole Miss. Andy Kennedy is still a familiar name for a lot of FIU fans. It wasn't all that long ago UAB was in our league. And there was a lot of really fun games there. What did you learn from Coach AK and so many of the other great coaches you've been around in your playing or coaching career?
Yeah, Coach AK did a great job of empowering his guys. They always play the right way. They don't turn it over a lot. Really good offensive rebounding usually. And then he changes up defenses a lot, you know, which has kept teams out of rhythm. And so I've used some of that in my coaching and it's been good for you. But, you know, I learned a lot from Coach AK, and then, you know, working for Coach Kermit Davis was really good defensively and offensively. And, you know, the first year he won SEC Coach of the Year, that was there, and we had a nice season. And, you know, then Tim Ryan, who won a national title at Central Florida, and then Donnie Tindall for 2 years, who obviously was head coach at Tennessee and been really good in junior college. And so I've been blessed. And like I said earlier, Gene Bess is who I first started playing for, Naismith Hall of Famer. So, you know, to be 29 years old, and that's the coaches that I've been under, and now Coach Joey, like, I've been very fortunate to be around some really, really good basketball minds. And guys that do it in a different way. I've learned something different from each of these guys.
And I think the cool thing is that when you were around a lot of those guys, you already knew you wanted to be a coach, right? I think you decided that pretty early. Kind of take us through that process where early on you're like, all right, I want to be on the coaching side of this more than anything else.
You know, in high school, I knew I wanted to coach, but didn't know quite what level. I thought maybe high school, but wasn't really sure. And honestly, as soon as I got to college and saw how competitive it was and how good the players were and how fun it was for me as a player, I just decided then that I was going to try to chase the college thing. It hasn't always been easy for sure, as you've alluded to. So, I mean, but anything worth having, you know, it's not going to be easy, but I've been a push over the journey and been very fortunate.
In that decision-making process and throughout your career, how much are you talking to your dad, who was the coach at Advance? How much are you talking to your brother, who's the Advance coach now? Like, it obviously runs in your family. How often are you kind of communicating with those guys, whether it be about career decisions, basketball, X's and O's, all that kind of that goes into it?
Not a ton on the X and O standpoint, but always obviously involving family and decisions. But common theme has always been just chase your dreams and do what you love. And then I've been fortunate. My wife played college basketball and loves the game too. And so she's been a great partner and very supportive of every step along the way as well. And so I've had a great support system, been lucky in that area as well. And you said earlier, and you don't think about it much when you're playing, but getting those college scholarships was huge because I'm not starting my life out in debt and chasing and behind. So you can take lower jobs at JUCOs and whatever and kind of grind your way up, if you will. And I was very fortunate in that regard.
As you were playing at Advance and kind of beginning your career, how much was your dad pouring into you, shaping you as a basketball player and eventually as a coach?
Yeah, he coached when I was in grade school. So it was third through sixth grade, but super hard on me, but in a positive way. And, you know, really just about acting the right way, playing the right way and playing extremely hard. You know, you're going to miss shots and turn it over, but control the things you can control. And I've got a sports-minded family. A lot of people in my family have played college-level sports at some degree. And so everybody loves it. It's been a lot of fun, though.
You mentioned outruns in the family. If I read correctly, you broke your dad's scoring record at Advance. How'd that conversation go?
My brother broke mine.
Okay.
I had set a single season scoring record, and my brother Jack broke that his senior year. But I have the overall career total points for the career. So
right.
I guess he can talk a little trash, but not all the way up.
There you go. Perfect. You mentioned your wife. If I put both of you in your prime, you know, her elite days at SEMO and beyond, you in your prime as well, who's the best basketball player in your house?
I don't know. I mean, she had an unbelievable career, was a really good player. She set two records at two different Division I's, which was awesome. And our senior year of high school, she's the girls player of the year. I'm the boys player of the year. And she definitely had a better college career for sure than I did. But it's been fun because she loves basketball and is competitive. And it's made this chasing this dream a lot easier, having somebody like that by my side.
No doubt. And diving into kind of the X's and O's of the recruiting portion of it, your teams at GC had a lot of international flair as well. And obviously at Florida International University, that's going to be a big part, especially with this staff. What have you kind of learned? What have you liked about recruiting internationally that had you do it so often at GC?
I think some people in America have done a great job of being able to help student athletes by bringing them over and putting them in prep schools and different things. And so, you know, at the junior college, you don't have a budget to travel over to Europe or wherever it may be and see guys in person. So these prep schools have really allowed us and post-grads to evaluate some international prospects. And my experience has been very positive. My first roommate was a Lithuanian guy. I lived with a Lithuanian and a guy from Poland, Latvia, Serbia. I mean, I've had a ton of different teammates too, and that kind of helped shape me because you get around them, they're very humble people and just excited to have an opportunity in America. And I carried that on. We've had a lot of guys, as you mentioned, from France and Lithuania and different parts of Africa as well. And so we've had international guys every team I've been on the last 4 years, and I've enjoyed it. I think it's definitely a weapon if you can utilize it the right way.
And then from about as far away from home as possible to as close, I want to end here with you with this. It says in my Twitter bio, barbecue expert, and you being from Missouri, we got to talk about it a little bit. Obviously, you've got St. Louis on the east side of the state, known for the ribs. For my money, the best barbecue city in America is on the west side of the state over in Kansas City. How often were you headed out that way? How often are you getting barbecue on the eastern side of the state? What's been the barbecue experience for Coach Blue in Missouri?
Yeah, I mean, I would say closer to St. Louis just because it's so much closer. We have a small town actually where my wife grew up called Dexter, Missouri, and they have a basketball tournament this summer called Rib City. And so there's like three small barbecue chains there, all similar type stuff that you're talking about. But I love it. They're all a little bit different, but, you know, I would say I'd lean more towards the St. Louis style.
You got a go-to place out in Southeast Missouri where you're like, all right, when I'm at home growing up, this was the go-to spot.
Yeah, I would say my wife makes fun of me, but there's a spot in Dexter called Dexter Queen, and it's a super small spot. They've got a barbecue, but they do like a hot mustard sauce on the barbecue with some coleslaw, and it's fire. I actually like it, so I get it every time I go home.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we'll hopefully find a couple good barbecue spots down here in South Florida. It's a very different food mix. Cuban food's kind of the headliner, but it's a different food mix. But there's a lot of good stuff. So, Coach Blue, we're excited you're down here. Happy to have you.
Hey, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
Awesome stories there from both of those guys. And genuinely mean what I said there. Cannot wait for them to get started. But fortunately for the coaching staff, there's still a good amount of time between now and the start of basketball season. So we celebrate all that's in between, nearly at the dog days of summer here, but still plenty to look ahead to. Softball, baseball, both wrapping up, each starting to play well, find their rhythm right now. Let's see what they can do. And so much more as the off season, in air quotes, rolls on. Any of these coaches would tell you, There's no such thing as an offseason. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health. Be sure to keep it locked right here on FIUsports.com for so much more as the summer rolls on. For now, and as always, pause up.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest innovations to create a treatment plan personalized for you, no matter who you are. Our team of orthopedic and sports medicine specialists have the expertise to help you get back out there performing at your best. And with top-notch recovery and physical therapy, you'll be back in the game and living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to pro-level orthopedic care. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/ortho.